I appreciate Brother Barry, appreciate the kind words that he had to say. The Lord kind of knit our hearts together. I heard Brother Barry preach. He had pastored in East Tennessee. He knew what I was going through. Barry said, if you can pastor in East Tennessee, you can preach anywhere in the world. We kind of joined together some of the experiences that he had went through, some that I had gone through, and I love him, appreciate him in the Lord. I love Brother Garvin. Praying now for Bio, our prayer is that God will continue to do a mighty work, and I mean that with all my heart. I believe he is, and I believe he can do even greater, don't you? Amen. I really do. Would you stand with me just for a minute, please? Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we turn to you again today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit of God would be upon the word. Thank you for the good words that we've heard. We pray, dear God, that you will bless and have your will and way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 22, and hold your places right there. Genesis, chapter 22. I appreciate what Brother Claude had to say. I agree 100%. I believe that our main focal point should be on the winning of souls. Amen? Amen. And number two should be a very close second, the strengthening and building up of the body of Christ. But number one, the souls of men. God surprised me. I have heard something, and I believe the Lord is on cue here, but when I first came last night, I heard this word thrown out. I've heard it quite a bit, and I believe we're on target here, and the word is sacrifice. Never did I realize that God would call me into the ministry. It's a long story, and I don't want to make the focal point on myself, but I had two older sisters. My mother had prayed for me that God would give her a son and call him into the ministry. She never told me that, never told me that. My dad was a mechanic, and that's what I wanted to do. So after high school, I followed my dad's steps. Went through a vocational technical school, went on with ASE to get everything that was offered, mechanically speaking, was happy, had three children, and teaching a Sunday school class, serving on the deacon board in our church, and I could not get away from it. God called me, and I answered the call. And we started a little church, 13 people, and thank God, what a blessing. We have seen a host of people saved. And I thank God for that. I thank God forever. He's the one that does the saving. But oh, what a blessing it is to see people come to know the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here and why we've taken time out of our schedules to be here, isn't it? Because I believe we share the same heart and concern, the souls of men, as Brother Claude brought before us. Now, I want to talk to you this morning for a little while, and Brother Garvin, if you'll put a finger or whatever up, I won't mention anything about the time, but if you'll give me a flick about 5 minutes before, I'll be on schedule, okay? I want to talk to you this morning about the mountain of sacrifice. There are many mountains that are mentioned in the Word of God. I love living in East Tennessee. I was born and raised here. The Smoky Mountains, they were named years and years ago for the haziness and smoky-looking appearance of these mountains. But, you know, I love the fall of the year when the leaves change colors and all the beauty around. And I've always loved the mountains. I have a brother-in-law that was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. And he came to East Tennessee once, and he said this, "I am petrified of the mountains." I said, "What?" He said, "I can sit in traffic and on a Los Angeles freeway for hours, and it doesn't bother me at all." But he said, "One trip across these dark, forbidden mountains really gets next to me." You know, I can't share that, I'll tell you. The mountains have been a part of me. But I want to talk to you this morning about the mountain of sacrifice. Listen, if we're going to do something for the cause of Christ, missionary or preacher, there's got to be some sacrifices made. I was very close to my dad. He and I worked together 26 years, hand to hand, heart to heart, from 73 to 99 before the Lord took him home. And starting that little business in the shop, there was some dire sacrifices that he and I both had to make. in the cause of Christ, and that's not our focal point, but there are to be sacrifices. There's many mountains mentioned, as I've mentioned already in the scripture. I'd like to look at one this morning, very familiar one to you and I, Mount Moriah. And I'd like to try, by the grace and help of God, to define it just a little bit with God's help. Genesis chapter 22, first of all, verses 1 and 2. The scripture says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham. And by the way, dear friends, he tests you and I every day to see where we're at. Are we for him or against him? Are we still with him? Where are we? He tests us. Thank God for the test. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now skip down to verse number 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? It's amazing what children can observe, isn't it? Some say children can't be saved. I was saved when I was 7 years of age. I'm telling you what, they can know and understand much more than adults give them credit for. Here he was very observant. Where is the lamb? What a question. My, what a question. Verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide. How's bio going to go on, Brother Garvin? God will provide. If he doesn't, it won't. How are we going to survive, dear friends? There is a lesson, there's a message here this morning in Genesis 22 for each one of us today, regardless of where you're at or your circumstances, what you're going through, and you may be facing a situation where you're wondering, now, Lord, God will provide. I want to assure you of that this morning. He's as good as his word. He'll provide a lamb, Abraham said, for a burnt offering. And thank God he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. So you see, they were conversing along, as we heard Brother Beard preach on last night. They were talking. God was speaking. When he speaks, it's better than E.F. Hutton. We need to stop and listen. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his knife. Can you imagine the scenery there? As son looking up at the father. And he took the knife to slay his son. His boy knew what was coming. Abraham knew what was coming. Oh, but we're told over in Hebrews, Abraham believed that even if God required his death, he could raise him from the dead. He believed in his God. He was following the voice of his God. And that's something, dear friends, you and I need to be doing in this day and age. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and he said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Man, what a blessing the word of God is. Yes. One of the most important characters ever to appear in human history before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ was Abraham. He was called the friend of God, and my, what a title for others to know someone by. As they would see Abraham go, there goes old Abe. He's a friend of God. Oh, what a title. How do people know you and I by? One of my favorite songs is this, I'll be a friend of Jesus. What a message there is in that. And with all my heart, as sinful and human as I am, that is my desire. I want to be a friend to God. And that's what I'm striving to do. Abraham's known as the father of the faithful. In Romans chapter 4, we're told that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Turn with me, if you would, and let's just scrape a few verses here from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and down to verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested again, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In his mind, he had already killed his son. He was as good as dead. Same thing with the son. But my, how he believed God. My dear friends, I want to emphasize the fact again that Christian service involves one big word, sacrifice. Not only is it seen in Christianity, but it's seen in the world. My dad had been a mechanic before he went in World War II. He came out, worked for a strip mining company on heavy equipment. Then he went to work for a Ford dealership. He had worked there 28 years, only had Social Security. And I'm not whining this morning, dear friends. I'm not a whiner. I'm just stating a few things to draw some personal applications. And he became very ill, was off work for 3 months. During that time, the company that he worked for 28 years paid him 2 weeks vacation that was coming to him and cut him off. I was working at a sawmill for my uncle, and I kept food on the table, helped my mom and dad, which I'm glad that I could do. Listen, they raised me. It was no big deal. But that endeared my dad and I together. During this time, my dad, and see, God was setting the stage for my dad and I to work together. I didn't know it. He didn't know it. But my God knew it. So my dad called me and he said, son, go down to the Ford place. He gave me the key. Go down after everybody's gone. Don't go by yourself. He told me the man to go with. I don't want him to think anything's being disturbed. Take this man with you and bring my toolbox back home. And he said, if I ever twist another wrench with God's help, it'll be for myself. And so that's what I did. I went down, pulled the drawers out, unloaded all the heavy things, and set that box in and brought it to the basement of his home. It was a tremendous sacrifice. We started a little business in the little small town of Pikeville. And when we finished, so help me, we didn't have enough money to buy a gallon of paint to put a coat of paint on the block walls. We'd borrowed $1,200 to build a block building, 24 by 30. And we started in that way. But oh, what God can do. My, what God can do. And he has. And by the way, Ashburn Automotive is still going on 39 years later. My son's running it today. Amen. And I thank God for what he's done. Amen. When it comes to love and sacrifice, what a shining example Abraham was to each one of us. What a test that God put Abraham through, Brother Garvin. Abraham, he was saying, do you love me? Same thing Jesus said to John. You love me? Then he said this, as the book of James says, it's one thing for us to say we love Jesus. It's another thing to put it into practice. Do you say you love me? Yes, Lord. Well, then show me, he was saying. Take that boy. I love my children and my grandchildren. I thank God for them. Can't imagine. Take him up there and offer him. No doubt before that time, Abraham had looked at the little smoke and places coming up around him by the pagans that he lived amongst, and seeing them offer human sacrifices to God and thinking, you know, man, I've got it made. Here I've got this promised son, and God has promised that he'll bless my descendants as the sand of the seashore. And then God says, Abraham, take him. Take him. There's something in your life this morning, dear friends, that you love more than God. If so, we need to move it out of the way and get a fresh view of God. God speaking. Take that boy, your only son, your son of promise, the son that you love. Go into the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering upon the mountain that I will show you of. I'd like to refer to this as the Mount of Sacrifice. And it was. We started a little church there in East Tennessee, 13 people. Opened up the doors the first Sunday. We were so thrilled. We had worked, we had prayed, we had sweated, we had bled, everything in the world. For the first 10 years that I was there, it was not just a work in progress, it was hard work in progress. Building, expanding, moving, doing. And 60-something people walked in the first Sunday. Thrilled my soul, Brother Barry. What God could do. Thank God. But it was a sacrifice for myself, my wife, my family, and many other people. I wasn't in it alone. It was a sacrifice. You folks know what sacrifices are. You know what I'm talking about, and where the Lord's steering us here this morning. And may it resonate in your heart and soul just like it does in mine today. That's my prayer. God hit us, each one of us. So Abraham obeyed. He didn't whine. A lot of whiners in Christianity. He didn't question. He didn't offer any excuses. He didn't argue. He did not rationalize. He just simply obeyed. And I'll tell you something I found out in my life. And I've been saved now for 50 years. God blesses two things, obedience and faithfulness. You can't get past either one of them. But if a person will obey God, he'll bless you. If you'll be faithful to God regardless. But so many people will say, well, faithful, but Brother Doyle, you don't know where God's called me to serve. You don't know East Tennessee either. And how when people get it in for you, they'll go for the kill. But, Brother Doyle, listen, but God. Don't put him out of the equation. Don't move him aside. My, what God can do. He'll bless obedience and he'll bless faithfulness. Listen, if he calls you there, he'll give you what you need to stay there. Remember there. That. And if not, when he's finished with you, he'll move you on. He'll do that. He knows what he's doing. What a great example Abraham was. What a great God that Abraham served. And you know the story as well as I do. We've just read it. We see the climb of the father and son up the mountain. What a sight. I love my kids. I lost my mother and dad in a car accident. In 1999, both of them ripped my heart out. And my middle boy sat across from me in my old Dodge truck that has 432,000 miles on it now. And he said this, Dad, how long do you think it will be until you get to feeling like you and I doing some mechanicing like you and Granddaddy did? I came home and I told my wife, I said, honey, I don't know what Matthew's saying. I don't know if he's saying, Dad, I want to spend more time with you. I don't know if he has a real desire in his heart. and an aptitude toward mechanicking? I don't know, but I'm going to find out. And I did. And Matthew and I have been working together now 14 years. He's 28 years old now. He was 14 at the time. The climb of father and son up the mountain. Listen, dear friends, love your family. You may be called upon to be separated from them a little bit geographically, but that doesn't quench love. As the Song of Solomon says, many waters can't drown love. When a person's dead, that doesn't stop love. I love my mom and dad dearly, looking forward to meeting them just inside the pearly gates where the family reunion's going to be held. I'm longing for that time. The love hasn't stopped. It keeps intensifying. Listen, dear friends, you may have children that are wayward, walking outside of the ways of the Lord. Do you love them? Are you on your face to God for them? Or are you on the telephone to a friend saying, woe is me? Oh, dear friends, God help us. Father and son walking up the mountain together. We see Abraham tying Isaac on the altar. We see the willingness and obedience of both Abraham and Isaac. We see God's sovereign hand stay in the hand of Abraham. We see the substitute, the sacrificial ram caught in the thicket. And then there's something we'll miss if we're not careful. We see the worship of God after the sacrifice had been made. I'm afraid, dear friends, in our Baptist churches, we've become so shut-mouthed and quiet about our God that people would even question our salvation. Now listen, I don't believe you have to swing from the chandeliers or step across the ends of the pew or any of that, but I'm telling you something, if you know and love Jesus, there ought to be something ringing down inside. Amen. We ought to want to worship our God and not be ashamed of him. Amen. And God help us to do so. After this was over, it said they worshiped him there. Oh, thank God. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice. They were saying, listen, it ought to resonate in our hearts this morning. Thank you for Jesus, the Lamb of God that took my place and yours on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Oh, they worshiped him there. And then we see this, the walk of father and son down the mountain. It'd be wonderful if we could stay in a meeting like we're having all of our lives, but we've got to come back down the mountain. We've got to face the places of service and life as God would have us to face, but they came arm in arm. Oh, what a sacrifice. We've got four things I'd like to mention. I can hit them real quickly. Brother Garvin, I'm still dependent on you, okay? First of all, let me give you four things that really speak to me. Number one, the name given to the place where this scene took place. Genesis 22, verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mountain or mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Listen, the meaning of Jehovah Jireh is this: the Lord will see to it. The meaning is this: God will provide. And I'll tell you something, dear friends, he will. Abraham learned in God's time and in God's own way, he would provide. We started a little church, had no backing, had no financing, nothing. We started it depending on God. One of the first things that happened, a dairy farmer in Whitehall, Wisconsin, called me and said, Brother Doyle, I hear you're starting a church in East Tennessee. Would $500 help you get started? Oh, dear friends, it might as well have been $5 million. Oh, I thank God and rejoice. That was the beginning of God providing. And he will provide. He will provide. He's as good as his word. Now, what was and is the need of the hour? A Savior. The world needs to see him and know him today. We've got one to show and share. A substitute, a sacrifice, a sin bearer. You and I have got to learn the same lesson in life. And the sooner we learn it, the better. God will provide.
Amen.
God will provide. We must wait on him, not run ahead of him. Walk arm in arm with him. Talk to him. Listen to him. Trust him fully and completely. And we got to know for sure that our God will provide what we need. And my dear friends, he'll provide everything that we need. I'm so glad for that. Philippians 4:19 says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So many times in our churches we face things and say, oh, what are we going to do this time? Looking slim. Slim to none, and slim has stepped out for a while. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. What's going to happen here? My God shall supply. Yeah, where's your God at, dear friends? He's in the same place where he has been. Where are we at? That's the better question.
Yeah.
Have you proven him faithful, dear friend, as Abraham did long ago? Father of the faithful. Has God been gracious? Has he been good and kind to you, my friend? We ought to give him praise and glory for it. Let's give him a hand this morning, can we, for what he's done. Praise his name. He supplies all that we need. And you know what, dear friends? He doesn't stop there. He gives us much of what we want. I had the privilege of leading an older lady to the Lord. Her name was Granny McElhaney. You remember her, Barry. She's already gone home to be with the Lord. We were visiting in the hospital some of her family that she was interested in. And in the hospital, I just said this, and I did not say it. I'm not one to try to gain off of someone else. And I have realized you have to really watch what you say. I just said, boy, I'd sure like to have a cup of coffee. That's all I said, and I was planning on getting one when I left the hospital. In just a minute, Granny McElhaney, 88 years of age, came down and stuck a cup of coffee in my hand. Now, you know what? That may seem like a small thing, but our God shall supply. Not just our needs, but so much of our wants. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Isn't that true? Praise his name. And then I've got to quickly get on it here. Number two, Moriah is the place where we give our dead back to God. Our Jewish friends often named their cemeteries Mount Moriah. Why would they do this? Well, there's a meaning. There's a meaning to every mountain, just like the Smoky Mountain has its name and meaning. This is where we, like Abraham, solemnly offer back our beloved dead to God. Had many funeral services in Bledsoe County. Had one this past weekend. There have been many times when I've had three in a week. Two has not been unusual. My wife's kept track of them. But being in business, I've known a lot of people, done a lot of funeral services. Mount Moriah is where we offer our dead back to God. Dear friends, I found out this. We've got to allow God to help us in our times of sorrow. Barry has heard this before, and I don't mean to repeat myself. I'm not meaning this message, Brother Barry, from me, but he's heard the story. February the 5th of 99 started like any other day for me. Had a funeral service in Crossville in Cumberland County. From there, I was going to go to make a hospital visit in Chattanooga. I had talked with my mother and dad, the dearest on earth to me, the lady that led me to the Lord and prayed that God would call me into the ministry. Never knowing that that would be the last time on earth I'd see him. Did the service, went to Chattanooga to the hospital visit, came home. The house was dark, no lights on. I knew something was up immediately. My first cousin's wife came out to meet me and said, Doyle, she's like a sister to me. She said, I don't know how to tell you. Your mother and daddy are in heaven. Now, I've had people that have never lost a loved one say, oh, don't be sorry. Don't be sad. You know where they're at. Listen, that was never in the equation. I rejoice to God that they were in heaven. But you know what, dear friends? Don't ever act like you're not a human being. That's right. There is a physical loss. There is a sorrow. There is an empty spot. There's a sadness that no shoes on earth can fill. And I had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death immediately. And this is where the church comes in, dear friends. We've heard about it today. I had ministered to people, wept with them over loved ones. Someone said, Brother Doyle, there's churches from all over Bledsoe County gathered in the parking lot of Faith Baptist Church on their knees praying for you. I got home. There was a knock on our back door. And a line of people filed into the house and said this, Brother Ashburn, we know you've got arrangements to make. We know you've got family. We know what's happened. But we just wanted to come and tell you we're sorry and we're praying for you. I'm telling you, dear friends, if you haven't walked up that mountain, it's coming for you. And by the grace and glory of God, His grace will be sufficient for you. God will provide. Now the thing about it is this. Growing up, I'd heard my mother say, and God answered her prayer, if God will give me my request, I would like for me and your dad to go together. When the emergency workers got to the car, my dad's head was laying on the heart of the woman that he loved. And that's how they went out into eternity. Oh, thank God. Listen, thank God. You say, Brother Doyle, are you still sad? You see it, and no, I am. But listen, there's a rejoicing in my heart. Oh, thank God. Mount Moriah, where we offer our dead back to God. Listen, I know this. It's looking more beautiful and blessed all the time. And oh, the hope of the Christian. They're waiting there. Thank God. Two more and I'm finished. Number three. Mount Moriah means a willingness to give up that which is most precious in our lives if God deems necessary. Preacher friend, it may be the church you're pastoring. It may be the church that I'm pastoring. Would you be willing to get rid of it, give it up, not get rid of it? You understand what I'm saying. Would you be willing to move it aside so you could see God in a greater way? Maybe your parents. It may, dear friends, be your companion, your sweetheart here. Maybe a child. Got a little lady in our church that lost a little girl. Oh my, how my heart went out to her. 18 months old. The little casket was about this long. One of the men from the church stepped in inside the grave plot and gently placed the body of that little girl in the grave. April wasn't saved at the time. Through that, I had the privilege of leading her to Jesus. You know what? April's one of our Sunday school class teachers now. Amen. God's given April another little girl. Healthy, strong, beautiful. Bethany is her name. And through her sorrow, you know who one of the favorite teachers for the children is? April. There's no wondering why. Oh, she has a heart for them. She has a heart and a love for them. She welcomes them into the Sunday school class. She hugs them. She has snacks for them. She kisses them. She pets them. And through her brokenness, God has used her. Mm-hmm. Are we willing to let go of it if God asks us to, God commands us to, we're willing to, we must be. Let me give you one other thing and I'll be finished. Certainly appreciate your patience and prayers, the spirit that I've felt and sensed here this morning. Fourthly, I'm glad to tell you today that God does not ask you or me to do anything that he was unwilling to do himself. The song says, we're talking about sacrifice. I'll go with him, part of the way. No, all the way, brother. All the way. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Just as Isaac and Abraham went up that mountain, and Isaac climbed with the wood on his back, God's precious son, Jesus, climbed up Mount Calvary with the wood of his altar in the form of an old rugged cross on his back. There was one exception. When Jesus got to the top of the mountain, there wasn't a ram caught in the thicket. Jesus died there as a sin substitute for you and me. Thank God that he did. Now listen, dear friends, and I'm finished. When we look at this passage of Scripture and we realize this, Mount Moriah, the Mount of Sacrifice. What are we willing to sacrifice for God? Brother Claude brought this out, the importance of the soul. Are we willing to sacrifice a little time, a little finances? Are we going to go out of our way so that others too might know him? First of all, we must see the great sacrifice that was made for you and I. And God help us to give our lives to follow the Great Commission. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll burn your words into our heart. Oh, what a blessing, Lord, it's been to proclaim just a few words for you today. God bless the remainder of the time. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.